The Gospel of John, chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless His Word to us tonight. Let's bow for a prayer, please. Gracious Father, as we have read Thy Word tonight, both in Genesis and here in John, we pray that the Spirit of God will take what we have heard and write it on our hearts. Sometimes we pray that prayer, Lord, and it may seem as just words that we offer. But we ask most specifically tonight that the Holy Spirit will come with power and will impress on our minds and will inscribe upon our hearts the truth of God. Lord, we pray tonight because we stand in great need. We need the help of the Spirit of God, both to understand, to hear, but also to speak Thy Word faithfully and plainly. Lord, I ask that any who are in our gathering who do not know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior, that this night would be a night of nights for them. From a very young person, perhaps, who is here. A young person who may have made a profession of faith some time before and yet has no assurance of their real salvation. Or perhaps they have been living a lie, pretending and yet not really knowing the Lord in their heart. Father, deal, we pray, with the heart of our young people tonight. Deal, we pray, with the hearts of each one, so that no one would leave, not understanding Thy Word. Come, we pray, O God, in great power, moving in the hearts of each one. Father, we hear the wind outside moving the shingles, reminded of the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came down in the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Lord, we pray, the Spirit of God will come and take us. We are nothing, Lord, in Thy sight. We know that. But it is not by might nor by power, but it is by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And therefore we come dependent on the power of God, not on ourselves. Lord, deliver us, we pray, from the foolishness and from the folly of thinking that there is any might or power or worth in our own strength. For the arm of flesh is very weak, and we are helpless of ourselves. Therefore we come, Lord, tonight to pray for that anointing. I come to ask for the help of the Spirit of God to fill me. I might speak with directness and with the help of God tonight. Lord, give us joy in our hearts as we are reminded again and our memories are refreshed of the things of God. And of this portion of Scripture that we have read, that is so filled with truth, so filled with doctrine, so filled with that which warms our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer and encourage us this evening. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. There are millions of people today who are born into unfortunate situations. They did not begin life with a positive hope. Perhaps that was a result of some immoral relationship that started them out upon life. Maybe they found themselves in a great poverty and therefore they did not have the benefits that other people had. Maybe it was some sickness. Perhaps it was a physical handicap that marred their life. Maybe it was a birth defect that has deformed them. Perhaps they were a result of a relationship that they now are unwanted children from broken homes. To contrast that, there are other people and many who are born into good families, born into a land of freedom, born into a land that, as the Scripture says, flows with milk and honey. As we were hearing this morning, being reminded of the many blessings that we receive from the hand of God. Born into a situation where education comes free. It comes easily. Opportunity is given to many people who are born in this circumstance, maybe from a wealthy home, maybe possessing all their faculties, having good health, having a good moral upbringing. Some people are born into what would be called a royal line or royalty. Born into the aristocracy. Maybe they have king's blood in their veins. People who were born of the Jewish race, that was a great honor. Because that was a nation that was set apart by the Lord, a chosen nation. A people through whom Christ would come. For the Lord Jesus said that salvation is of the Jews. And He came through that line. It was an honor to be born in that place. But you know, whether you take the two different scenarios, either being born into some difficulty or being born into a good family or a good country, and I believe we could see this represented in our very congregation tonight if we were to poll people and ask them and find out what is your situation and background. We would find to some degree there are variances, there are differences. And yet, the place where we find equality is that no matter whether you were born in poverty or in riches, you were born most certainly in sin. And this is the equality that all men have, as we are born indeed in sin. In fact, that is the very reason why Jesus Christ had to come to this world, that He might redeem and save those who are from rich families, those who are from good environments, and those who are from bad environments. Because all men are sinful in the sight of God, and all men need to be redeemed. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He came unto a people. He came unto His own people. He was born into a land and a place of history where His people were under the oppression of the Roman government. And the Lord Jesus, in the fulfillment of the great prophecies of the Old Testament and of the incarnation where God took on flesh, as we have read in this chapter, and manifested or revealed Himself unto people, and specifically unto His own people. And it says that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But, and I want to draw your attention to verse 12 tonight, for this is the text I want to take from chapter 1. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This is a very clear verse of Scripture. This is a verse from the Bible that you could not misunderstand. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And what I want to speak to you about tonight is joining the family of God, of becoming a son or a daughter of God. And what that means. And the first thing I want you to notice is that this is a high privilege. I don't believe there is a higher privilege. There is no higher privilege that can be given unto man that but they can be taken as a human being and be brought into a relationship with God and then be called a son of God. This is a truth that really transcends all other from the standpoint of blessings and of privileges that are given to humanity. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Joining the family of God is the highest privilege because we have been forgiven for our sins and of our sins. Christ came to save His people from their sins. The Lord Jesus came to bring us this forgiveness, this salvation, so that we can be brought into that relationship of being a son or a daughter of God. So we have, in reality, the forgiveness of our sins, which were many. And they have all been washed away. Friend, have you thought upon that truth today? Have you thanked God today for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you calculated that God has removed your iniquity as far as the east is from the west from you, so that it will no longer be held to your account? Do you know what that means? It means that you shall have a home in heaven with God forever. As you are brought into this relationship, and it means that though your sins which were damning your soul in hell, and the sin that made us under the condemnation of God because of that, we have now been freed from that condemnation. And we have been brought into the light and the liberty of the sons of God. But it means something else. It means that we have been made partaker of the divine nature. The nature of God has been placed into us. We now possess God's nature. That is a mystery, and I don't believe we have words to properly explain what that means and to fully comprehend what it means that we are partakers of the nature of God, of the divine nature. But when Christ died upon the cross and He purchased for us through His own merit all that we needed to become into the family of God and to possess all the possessions of the Lord, being part and having God's nature in us, so that we can say, as the apostle did, this mortal, this humanity will put on immortality, and this death will be swallowed up in the victory and the life, the eternal life of God. We have been brought into that relationship with our God. But there's something else that being part of the family of God means. It means that we have an inheritance. An inheritance that is incorruptible. An inheritance that is unchangeable. That is not able to be defiled. That will never fade away. The inheritance that we have in Christ will not rust. It will not rot. It will not decay as everything that we see around us will one day. But we have the inheritance and the blessings that God has promised for His people. This is what it means. Is this a high privilege? There is no higher privilege but to have the forgiveness of sins, but to be brought into possess the divine nature, but to have an inheritance incorruptible and blessings innumerable that God has laid up for us in heaven. Have you considered that today? My friend, I would challenge you that whatever depressing situation you find yourself in life, that when you contemplate and turn over in your mind the blessings that God has given to you and the great hope and the future that we have in Him, your depression and your sadness and your trials will be given a different view altogether. And you will be able to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice with hope, to rejoice with the rejoicing that will not ever be taken away from us. This blessing becomes multiplied to us because it's not something that we are waiting to become. We are not going to become the son or daughter of God at the day of our death. But when we come to Christ, we become part of His family then and immediately at that time. And so we're not expecting that this will happen in the future. It's not some distant thing, my friend. It is a real hope that we have now. It is what is called a sure knowledge. And when we talk about something we're hoping for, it's not in a doubtful situation, but it is that hope that stands before us as the surety of the knowledge that we have because of what the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. We possess it now. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. We are sons and daughters of God in the midst of this world. The Lord has placed us to be lights, to shine as testimonies. Let me ask you, is your light shining before God and before the world? When people look upon your life and your action, your behavior, do they identify you as being different? Do they know that you're a Christian? Do your workmates know you're a Christian? Do the people you come in contact with on a daily basis realize that this person is different? They should know and see a marked difference in your life. Because if we possess this divine nature, then it's going to be radiating from our life and by our behavior, and by our actions, and by our words. All of these things will testify that there is something that has happened to us and we have been changed. But there's a word of warning here. And the word of warning is this: all are not sons. We can say that we are all sons and daughters of God by creation. That is true, because we are all humanity and God has created all things. So in that sense we are. But there is a vast difference between being a son or a daughter of God by creation and by redemption. They are a world apart. Some people believe in what they call universalism. And that's a teaching that as Christ died and shed His blood and made atonement for sin, that He made atonement for the sin of all human beings. So no matter how people have lived their life, at the end, God will finally just welcome everyone in. There is a teaching and a people who believe that. But nowhere is that taught in the Scripture. The Lord very specifically says that broad is the way that leads unto damnation, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. No, my friends, if you do not have Christ in your heart, don't live under the notion. Do not be deceived. Do not think that it will be well with you when you come to the end, just because you feel good inside. All are not sons. All are not in the family of God. And this begs the question, how then does a person become a member of God's family? And that's what I want you to notice secondly. How is this privilege obtained? Well, how do people become members of any family? There are really two ways. One is by birth, and the other is by adoption. So in a spiritual family, it is the same way. It is either by birth and by adoption. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, Jesus said, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What was he meaning when he said that? Except a man be born of water, that is the natural birth. It has nothing to do with baptism at all in that verse. Except a man be born of water in the natural sense and be born of the Spirit, that is the second birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To become a son or a daughter of God, we must receive and believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And to receive Christ is to receive God. And to receive God is to first receive His Son. This was the great stumbling block for the Pharisees. And the Lord had His many disputes with them. And they claimed to have Abraham as their father, and therefore they had God as their father. And though they had all the outward vestments and everything looked right on the outside, inside they were very corrupt and they were full of dead men's bones. There was no life in them. There was no heart in them for God in the true sense. And so Jesus said to them, if ye had known and loved the Father, ye would know and love me. But he said, because you reject me, it is because you have no love for the Father. And that to them cut right to their heart, because they truly believe they worship God. But they did not worship God. They worshiped something that they had made of their own imagination. But their heart was hard and cold and dead. They had not received the truth of God because they had not received the manifestation of truth to them, who was Jesus Christ. For the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you see, it's not until a person comes to understand and accept and receive Christ as the truth that they will come to understand who God is and what His Word really means. The word receive, here in our text, means to get hold of. To get hold of. And if you would notice for a moment, please, in verse 11, it says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But then in verse 12, it says, but as many as received him. And so the word here in verse 12 is quite a contrast, the expression from verse 11 to verse 12. For those who received Christ, they got hold of Him. But those who did not receive Him rejected Him, and they did not want to have Him as their Savior. You see, if you're going to take hold of Christ, you need to take hold of Him as a complete person. The complete Christ. You can't have half a Savior. You can't say that I want to take the humanity of Christ, or I like the social aspect of Jesus, or as Islam would say, we accept Christ or Jesus as a prophet, indeed a prophet of God. Indeed a prophet of God who did miracles and who was without sin, for they believe that. But they do not accept Him as being God manifest in the flesh. You cannot have half a Savior. You must have the complete person. And to have the complete person, we understand that He is the eternal Son of God. Look at verse 14 of our chapter. and the Word, the Logos, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, John said, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This Logos, as verse 1 tells us, was with the Father from before the foundation of the world. He is the Word. And the Word was made flesh. And so God the Son came down from glory and took on human flesh, the eternal Son. And He took on this flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And He took on this flesh that He might perfect salvation and bring salvation to you and to me. John tells us in his epistle, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So those people who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, those cults and every false religion that rejects the deity of Jesus Christ, is so rejecting His person. And so as John said, they are not of God because they have not received and they do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The Jesus that they worship is, as the Lord Himself said, at the end time they will point and say, there is Christ, or there is Christ, or there. Do not follow them, because they are confused, they are deceived. They are pointing to a false Christ. My friend, to receive the Lord is to receive the full person of the Lord. And it means to accept and receive Him as the eternal Son of God, but also to accept Him as the only Savior. For Paul said to Timothy, there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And there is no other solution to the sin problem of mankind. There is no other hope that we have in this life if we reject the one mediator that God has given. There are not many ways to God, my friend. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And we must accept and understand that He is the only Savior. Call that bigoted if you like, but you will be calling the Word of God that. Call it narrow. Say that it's unfair. And you will say to God that His way and His method is unfair. And He is not just in His dealings with humanity. No, my friend, whether you like that truth or whether you do not like it, it is in the Scripture. There is only one Savior from sin. There is only one way to God. And if you're here tonight and you're without Christ, I admonish you. I exhort you by the Lord to repent and to seek after the Lord as your own Savior. Paul said, I beseech you in Christ's stead. We stand in the place of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For there is no other answer for the need of your heart. You must accept Him as the eternal Son. You must accept Him as the only Savior. But my friend, you must take Him as your Savior. And here is a word to young people. Listen, young people, tonight. It may be that your parents are Christians. It may be that you've been brought up in a good home. But just because your parents are Christians does not mean that you are a Christian. You must accept Christ for yourself. And you must take the Lord as your Savior. You might be taught in Sunday school that He is the Son of God. You may be taught that He is the Savior. But until you come to take Him as your Savior, you will not know Him. He is the only one that can deliver you from your sin. In the chapter 8 of Romans, We're given a verse of Scripture there that says, "But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The word Abba simply means Father. And so really, it says, we have been given the Spirit of adoption, whereby we might be able to cry, Father, Father. We come because when we come in Christ, we are able to approach unto our Heavenly Father. What a tremendous truth this is, that we have been adopted into God's family if we have come to Christ. What is adoption? Well, think about it in an earthly sense. In earthly affairs, it is the selection of a child. It is the choosing of one that is not born to us biologically. The fulfilling of all the legal obligations that will make that child our own, inheriting that legal right. Now think about that for a moment. This really came to me a couple of years ago when I was talking to a man from Greenville, and he was going through the process and had just come through the process of adopting two children, and he had to go before the judge in the courtroom. And the judge looked at him and he pointed his finger and he said, "Sir, do you understand what you are doing now? Do you realize that when you sign this paper of adoption, that you are saying that all of your wealth and all that you possess and your name will be given unto these children who were not your own?" And he said it struck him, and the spiritual truth of it struck it even more into his heart, that when we are adopted into the family of God, we then come to possess all that God has given to us through Christ. We have been made heirs of God and joint heirs with our Savior. Yes, my friend, adoption is being brought into God's family, we who are not born there. And He chose us unto Himself. The word adoption here is made up of two words. It means the son that has come of age, and it also is the word placing or setting. So you join those two thoughts together and you have a son that is placed. And when we think about that spiritually, we have been children who have been placed into God's family. And it has not been by our good works. It has not been by anything that we have done. It is by the grace of God. And so we possess much because of our relationship and being brought into His family. I want you to notice, thirdly, the authority given, because this is important. Why are we made children of God, and how is it that we can be as sinful humans brought into God's family? How is this going to be taking place? Well, my friends, the authority given is found in our text back in verse 12. And it says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power." Who is the one giving the power here? It is God. It is Christ who is giving the power, or giving the authority. This work of God is not initiated by man. There are many false credentials in the world today. Spurious things. Forged certificates of people who claim that they are something when they are not. Shysters. You may remember the man whose name is Howard Hughes. He's dead now. He was a very rich man. And there was great confusion after he died about his will. And there were many people who came forward after his death, and they claimed that they had the authentic will to the estate and to the riches of Howard Hughes. There were many of them that came forward, all of them, prove to be forgeries. What are you hanging on to tonight, my friend? Do you have the authentic, the real ticket? Is the will that you are holding, is the certificate that you have, that which has been stamped by God? Or are you hanging on to something that is contrived by yourself, a forgery? Many today have false birth certificates, if we could put it in that way. They may claim to be heirs of God, but they're trying to slip in the back door. They're trying by various forms of self-righteousness, saying, I'm not such a bad person. I heard this just recently of someone. Things were not going too well. And they said, well, am I such a bad person? What have I done so wrong? People try to establish their own self-righteousness and say that surely I'm not as bad as the next person. And so they lift themselves up and they are certain that when God looks upon them, He does not see iniquity. He doesn't see sin. Well, there might be a few small things, but nothing worthy of death. But my friend, if you have offended in one thing, you have broken the entire law. You are guilty of all if you have broken one of God's laws. And indeed you have broken many more than just one. Self-righteousness is that which stinks in the eyes and in the nostrils of God, because all the good works that we have and we can amass together, they're all tainted by our corruption and by our sin. And so we cannot offer this to God. We have no authority of ourselves. Our good deeds, they are corrupt deeds. Our family of religion, our church membership, our noble objectives, all the things that we try to put together will be tried and judged by the court of heaven. And they will all be burned up in the fire. What about those people who came to the Lord and said unto Him, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in Your name? And the words came to them, depart from Me, I never knew You. You see, there are people who believe they are doing what is right. People who believe they have the authority, but what do they have? They have a false certificate. They have something that is untrue. Maybe that's your case here tonight. Well, my friend, I encourage you, do not rest upon that authority. Because the key to authority, to this whole subject, is that if we're going to claim membership in the family of God, we have to come to the authority that God gives. And Christ has said, He gives authority or power. And Christ is the final arbiter. He is the King, who is our confidence. Our trust is in Him. And we must come to trust in the Word of God and come with faith to rest upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Eternal Son, and to realize that He gave this authority. It is a gift. It's not something that we're going to work for. It's certainly not something we can merit of ourselves. This authority is something that we possess today. It is something that was possessed by people in the New Testament day when they heard this word. It was possessed by those in the Old Testament who looked forward to Calvary. And my friends, it is something here for you tonight. For the Lord is giving you the authority to come and to call upon His name. Finally, I want you to notice the scope of this sonship, because He says, but as many as received Him. As many. This is a very open door. A wide open door of opportunity. And your name could be placed in that very spot, as many. Because the Lord has said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no uncertainty in this. But there is a most blessed certainty when we come by the way of the old rugged cross. This directly contrasts the fact that Christ was rejected by the world and He was rejected by the Jewish nation. And yet He followed on with these tremendous words, "But as many." I know that most of you here tonight have come to that position. You have this authority that has been given to you by the Lord. You're able to sit tonight and say, "Yes, I know that I am a child of God because of this authority which has been given by the Lord." But there are others, and perhaps you do not know this. What would hold you back from coming and taking what the Lord is giving freely to you? Why do you wait? Young person, what would keep you back tonight from surrendering your heart to the Lord Jesus and just calling upon Him? You have nothing to lose, my friend, but your guilt and your shame. You have nothing to lose but hell itself. And you have everything to gain. The gospel door is still open tonight. Come and call upon Him for salvation. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that the Spirit of God will continue to strive with each one of us. Help those of us, Lord, who do know the Savior, to rejoice, to give thanks, to worship with freshness and with greater enthusiasm and love for what God has done for us and given to us. We have a tremendous heritage. We have a great hope that is set before us. Father, I pray tonight specifically that for those who are halting, those who are doubting, those who are resisting the grace and the Spirit of God, Lord, break down, we pray, the resistance in the hearts of those who are young people, those who are older, and may they surrender their everything and their all unto Christ. Hear our prayers tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.